Welcome to the second podcast by the National Clearinghouse on Families and Youth, where we'll be taking a look at runaway and homeless youth services supported by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Family and Youth Services Bureau. I'm Erica Blount-Danois, a writer and editor for the Clearinghouse. In this podcast, we'll share the personal story of a formerly homeless youth, 19-year-old Juanel Jones, who was aided by the Latin American Youth Center, or LAYC, a youth-serving organization located in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood of Washington, D.C. LAYC is one of many programs across America that are funded by the Family and Youth Services Bureau to help young people running from or being asked to leave homes characterized by abuse, neglect, or parental drug and alcohol abuse. I spoke with Juanel at one of LAYC's residential facilities for runaway and homeless youth. Wearing a backward baseball cap and braids with cowrie shells at the ends, he told me about how he became homeless and directionless at age 17, how he got help from LAYC, and how a youth worker named Elmer Diaz turned his life around. Some of the music featured in this podcast is from In My Life, a song by Juanel's group ITS.
I was a troubled teen. I had no direction. My life took a fast turn. Things with my pops weren't going so well. Like, we always was going at it at each other's throats and stuff. So it got to the point where I packed my bags and left. I wasn't even staying with my grandmother either, so I was basically staying on the street. So I didn't have no clothes, no nothing. I was sleeping at like park benches or bus stops, stuff like that. I had a good upbringing, basically from my grandmother and my father too, but you know, my mother, she really wasn't in my life. You know, I haven't seen her since I was six, and she had a real bad drug problem as well as my father. You know, so that's why me and my father didn't get along. I was up in age, and I was always running away, or sometimes he'd put me out.
What about school? Did you leave school at some point?
Yeah, I left school. I said, man, forget school. It wasn't for me. That's basically around the time I was out here robbing people, you know, just selling drugs, hanging on the corner on the streets and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't need school. That's how I felt at the time. School ain't had nothing to offer to me. I was known as an honor roll student at first, and then when they started noticing things like me not coming to school, or my attitude, my whole personality changed at that point, where like I really ain't talked to nobody. I kept to myself. You know, my main reason to coming to school was just to get something to eat. After I eat, I leave. They see me on the camera leaving out the back door. So basically, school was a place for me to come to eat and go to sleep. Heard something about LAYC, so I went to the youth center, and they told me to come down here. I had to go through like three interviews, and I finally met Elmer, and he was told he was gonna be my case manager. So he seemed like he was a nice guy. At that point, my life ain't had too much direction. I didn't have no set path, no goals to me. Everything was like dead to me. I was out here, I was robbing people, I was stealing. I was caught up into a lot of stuff, a lot of gang violence and stuff like that. I owe everything to Elmer. You know, he talked to me, gave me counseling. He'll let me ride with him, and he'll talk to me in his car. And like, tell me, man, you can't be doing these things. You can't be selling drugs. You can't be out here doing this and that. He said, you need a job, you can come to me to get a job. Yeah, I can help you. That's what I'm here for. You got any problems, you can come to me. I've been with Elmer for almost 3 years. I owe everything to that man. He got me 2 jobs. He helped me, like, when I first found out I was having a baby, I was scared. He talked to me. He let me know. He said, it's all right to be scared. That's natural for you to be scared. This is your first time having a child. I didn't know what I was going to do, but he made me feel better. He talked to me. So now I'm confident about having my child. I'm looking forward to it.
What's been the transition from, you know, being out on the street and then having a job?
I look at it as a good thing. I mean, everything's a hustle. What you do, either you on the corner selling, that's a hustle. But when you're working, that's an honest hustle. That's a hustle you doing that you making legal money. Can't nobody tell you, oh, you can't do this. You can't get arrested for it. So I enjoy working. You know, honestly, I'm making an honest living. I'm working two jobs. It's good to have honest money in my pocket. I don't have to look over my shoulder and stuff. I don't have to rob people or none of that. I look forward to just working, saving my money up, putting it up towards my child.
What do your friends say about you working these two jobs?
Some of them, they stuck on the street. Like, they like working a 9-to-5. Other people, they say, man, I wish I could get a job. I wish I could work. They ask me how I'll get that job. They wish they could come out that street life.
Do you see yourself doing what Elmer does at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to work with youth. I took up a peer mediating class when I got back in school. When students have problems, change my own age, I could talk to them, you know, because I've been through what they're going through, maybe even worse. My whole life been a story, you know. So I could cope with what they're going through. I could tell them, hey, look, you ain't got to do this. You entitled to do what you want to. I can't tell you what you can and you can do, but I could help give you the right information, some guidance to what you want to do, where you want to go. You got problems, you could come to me.
Now, I know, too, that you also have ambitions to work in the music industry. So tell me a little bit about that.
One day, I was sitting down eating lunch at this table right here. And I heard some beats and I heard somebody rapping, so I jumped up. I was like, who that? And it was Elmer. So I was like, what? So he was like, oh, you rap? I said, yeah, for sure, I rap. That's a bet. So we call it freestyling. It came to a nightly session. Elmer would say, all right, y'all finished with y'all chores? Come on upstairs. And after that, we got to thinking. We was like, man, we should have our own group. So the guy Dane and Elmer came up with a name called ITS. It stands for Influencing the System. And we talk about what we going through, what we've been through. Me and Dane as two youth that been homeless, been out on the streets. So it gave us something to look forward to and something we enjoy doing.
This life ain't no game out here, the picture's clear, can't you see? People dying from AIDS and HIV, you can't sugarcoat it, cause this life ain't sweet. Homeless people trying to survive out here on the street, trying to figure out where the next meal is coming from. Heart beating fast as a drum, cause someone told you that they love you, now they bringing peer pressure.
I mean, when I first started off rapping, yeah, I was rapping about, oh, I shoot you, I rob you, I'm slanging this, I'm doing that. You know what I'm saying? And then once I got on some positive stuff, like you got some people, they don't want to hear that. So when they heard it, they was like, what'd you say? I actually have cousins they looked out to me because of the stuff I was doing on the street, the bad stuff. And once I was doing positive stuff, they said, oh, you not fun anymore. I said, what you mean I'm not fun anymore? Because I don't want to smoke weed. I don't want to sell drugs. I don't want to rob nobody no more. I want to work. I want to finish school. I want to set up a good foundation for myself. What the streets got to offer but death. A lot of my friends are dead right now.
So you've actually lived this life, so you know it's not anything to glamorize.
Right, it's not. Being locked up, it's not nothing good. People rapping how they could serve time like it's nothing. Me personally, I've been in there for like a year. I'm like, man, I couldn't take it. I was going crazy. Jail actually turned you crazy. It's hell. Another grown person telling another grown person what they can and can't do. You know, it's not nothing good.
Well, tell me now, who are some of the people that are closest to you, and why?
Right now, I gotta say Elmer. Him and my grandmother, you know, and the mother of my child, she been supporting me too. But Elmer, I owe him a lot, you know. That's why I got something planned for him. So I hope he don't hear this right now. But I got something planned for Elmer where I want to thank him. I owe him my life. If it weren't for him, I could be dead right now.
Well, tell me too. I know Elmer played a big part in it, but what about you? What was the turning point for you? Because you also had to make that decision for yourself to make a change.
I had people that cared about me. At first, I felt like I had nobody that cared about me. So fighting and shooting, I didn't care. I didn't feel like anybody would miss me. But when I seen that he looked hurt and concerned about me, and you know that right there, that really touched my heart.
After our interview, Wynell walked out with me to my car. As we walked down the street, he said hi to everyone we passed. Everyone knew him. They asked him about his child-to-be and wanted to know how he was doing. A few days later, on August 17th, Wynell's son was born. Wynell had prepared for his son's birth by participating in LAYC's fatherhood program, which provided him with resources and counseling to prepare him for parenthood. He says he intends to continue on to college so he can be a father that his son will admire.